Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're blessed that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and bow your heads and your hearts as we open up with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and for all those blessings that you bestow upon each one of us. Jesus, we especially thank you for this opportunity to sing praises unto you, to exalt your holy name. We thank you for this privilege, this honor, and this opportunity to worship you today. We ask that you would just send your Holy Spirit to impact us, to move us and change us, and to, you know, mold us into your image. May we leave forever different than what we came in. But above all, may you be blessed. May you be worshiped truly and completely today. We love you, O Christ. We commit this time of praise and worship into your care. In the holy name of the risen Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we get ready to praise and worship our God, let's turn to our neighbor and say, keep on praying. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer returning and you know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Paint my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer returning, and you know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes you right. Once had doubts and fears, my eyes were filled with tears. Jesus, a friend who watched me day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let's do that one more time for God. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. I tell you what, if we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be able to go to you with prayer for anything we're carrying with us, Lord, knowing that you can take care of everything. You are a wonderful and amazing Savior, Lord, and you do want us to live a life in peace, a life that we can enjoy, a life that you can allow us to be an example for you, Lord. After all, you did die at Calvary for us, Lord, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No and others was for me. He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdened soul found liberty. That's my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdened soul found liberty. Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burden stone found liberty. Salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burden soul found liberty. To me, then my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
One more time for God.
Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise for all he's done for us. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to have that grace, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be able to live a life for you, Lord, and have that opportunity to be an example for you. Just as you sent your only son, Jesus, walk on this earth, Lord, he modeled the way that we should live our lives. Allow us to be like him. Allow us to show that love and compassion. But Lord, when we're down and out and we don't know what to do, let us remember to turn to you. Let us remember not even when we're down and out, but every single day to give everything to you in prayer, Lord. Allow us to turn our eyes upon you. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, so are you weary in trouble? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Yeah.
Father, we do thank you for allowing us to have that opportunity to get to know you, Lord. Father, allow us to turn our eyes upon you. For if we look fully into you, Lord, into what you've done and what you can do for us, allow us to pray and give everything to you. We can have that life that you would want us to have and be that example. Lord, we don't have to hold on to anything. We can give everything to you. There isn't anything that we need to fear because you wipe all that away. You said, "Peace I leave with you." Lord, we ask a special blessing over this church, all that are here, those that are not here, Lord. Stomp out any illness or sickness that anybody may have, Lord, and please bless the church and our pastor and our future. We thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Just want to highlight a couple brief announcements before we continue this time of praise and worship. A longtime member, Bernice Conrad, she passed away a few days ago, and there will be a memorial service here at Trinity this Friday, March 24th at 3 p.m. Dennis has requested that I make this announcement so that everybody who had been touched by Bernice's, you know, just life and her energy and passion and her spirit would be able to come out and be a part of that memorial service again. For Bernice Conrad, a longtime member of Trinity United Methodist Church here, she passed away, and we will be having a memorial service here this Friday, March the 24th at 3 p.m., and everyone is welcome to come out and celebrate her life. At this time, I'm going to invite Greg to come forward, and he has an announcement here for us, and as well as a challenge as well, I believe.
Yes. Alrighty, so in your bulletin, you guys will see this little card, nifty little card, right? Okay, so for Easter service, we're doing one service, which is different than our Christmas service. And the challenge to you guys that we want to make is to get an unbeliever in church. To get an unbeliever in church. The reason Easter is about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The central tenet of Christianity is the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, if we can get them in the building, then I'm sure God can work the rest out. Also, we will be following up in the weeks after Easter service with a class that covers the basic doctrines of Christianity. And so anybody that's outside of the church, if we can get them in the church, we can get them invited to the class, and that's the first steps, right? Also, anybody that would want to go to the class and to just kind of, maybe they forgot some doctrines or something, yeah. So that's what we're doing. I will have more details on the class in the next couple weeks. But I want to challenge you all to get these out to unbelievers, non-believers, friends and family who aren't involved in church, etc. We can make a big difference. like I said before, if we get one person, if each of us brings one person to church, we're going to be overflowing. There's going to be people on the street. It's going to be, yeah, back like the 1700s, right? So that'd be really cool. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Greg. And just for some of us, that a doctrine is a belief. And so what Greg's going to cover in that class are the basic beliefs that we hold to and hold as true here as we follow Jesus. Just to highlight a couple more announcements here on the back of your bulletin, Joanna is not feeling well this morning, so I'm going to make this announcement. We have the Easter extravaganza egg hunt coming up, and we are in need of wrapped Easter candy to fill the Easter eggs for that. That's a wonderful outreach that comes up on April the 8th at 2 p.m. in Williams Park. And then please mark your calendar on Sunday, April the 2nd, right after the worship service in the fellowship hall. Everybody will be congregating out there to fill the Easter eggs. And I believe last year there was about 160 kids or more. And so, friends, it's a wonderful way to encourage and show the love of God to these young people where they might not get it anywhere else. Also, I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward. And do you have an update for us on the Easter seals? Okay. We will have an update coming for you on the Easter seals for the Vacation Bible School. And friends, you guys really did well. It's going to be a wonderful blessing to... Okay. All right. So we can look forward to that update as well. And then do you have... Okay. All right. Charlene has been leading a class titled Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts, and an amazing thing happened in this class, and it's just really, really neat to see that most of the individuals in the class, they came up with the same similar spiritual gifts. And friends, that's not an accident. That's not by chance. That's a God thing. And so, Gina, if you would share.
Okay, so I correct me if I'm wrong. It was mercy. Mm-hmm. Faith, mm-hmm. Encouragement, and I don't know, building stuff. I'm looking at Scott. I can't remember what, there was another one we were all. Mercy, faith, encouragement.
And Scott and hospitality.
Hospitality, that was one. Okay, so what I learned from this class is we change. Like throughout our life we change because hospitality was like way up here. For me, a long time ago, and now I am not. I'm down here, so I guess I don't like people in my house. I don't know. So stay away. okay, I'm kidding. But I did find for myself personally, I had some gifts that I didn't realize were there. And I keep looking at Scott because he's the same as my husband. There were gifts about the two of those men that. Creative speaking,
mm-hmm.
creative communication that I was like, wow, you two, really? Scott, don't take this as an insult. It's just we have talents and gifts that God gives us that we don't even know exist. One of our chapters that we did was to have others that we know, godly people that we know that could assess us. I was going to say rate. Mm-hmm. They could assess us, and there were things about myself that I discovered, like through Julie and Val, my husband. There was things about me that I didn't know existed, and I know Scott was one that learned stuff about himself that didn't exist. From here, I know we talked about the Stephen Ministry,
mm-hmm.
And Max or someone will tell you more about that. Myself personally, I am doing a class through MNAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It's a family-to-family thing. My hope is, if it's God's will, my hope is to maybe teach that class someday. And it's kind of like how Al-Anon is for the non-addict. I know lots of relatives and friends that have mental illnesses. The addiction rate with the heroin is so high now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact that a lot of people that are addicted to drugs, alcohol, all kinds of addictions, a lot of it is stemmed way back with mental illness. just, you know, and so I would like to, I think that's where God's leading me to do this. I wouldn't have found this unless it was through this class, the encouragement, the mercy, the faith, and these are things I had myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I'm supposed to go.
Cool.
So cool. That's it.
Cool. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Gina. As Gina indicated and alluded to, on Wednesday, March the 29th, when God brings a bunch of people together and they have the same qualities, characteristics, and gifts, you know, it's up to us to notice and to identify what God is wanting to do. And ever since I've been here, I came in July of 2012, so it's been about 4.5, going on 5 years at this point in time. And friends, we do an incredible amount of funerals, and it's perplexed me ever since I've been here. Like, why? Why? And really, through this class, one of the things that really has struck me is that God is bringing us these individuals, and it's up to us what we do with them. And there's a ministry called Stephen's Ministry, and what that ministry is it allows us in a one-on-one fashion to walk with people during difficult seasons in life. Now, those difficult seasons can be, you know, a sudden illness. They can be a loss of a job. They can be a loss of a loved one. They can be anything of that manner. And so what excites me and what really, you know, fires up my passion is this, is that God is bringing us these people. And as I spoke last Sunday, what would it look like if we offered them more than just what is typical? What would it look like if we offered to walk with them through that and offer them a Christ-centered connection? That's being the church, friends. And it seems as though God is leading us. Starting April 2nd, we have a study of the big book happening here, and that's very similar. It's walking with those individuals with different addictions, different struggles, and it's walking with them. Friends, that's what God is calling us to do, I believe. And so on March the 29th at 7 p.m. in the upper classroom, we are going to have an informational meeting. We don't want to just limit it to those individuals in the Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts class. We want to open it up because I believe that if God is bringing us these individuals, which he is on a regular basis, there's probably more of you out there that would be sitting there thinking, hey, yeah, I could be a part of that. I could do something like that. And so mark your calendars, March 29th, 7 p.m. in the upper classroom, the informational meeting on the Stephen's Ministry, and we're going to see where God leads us and where God takes us from there. You can find more information about the Stephen Ministries on the inside of your bulletin right above the prayer and praises, and so make note of that. The last announcement that I'm going to highlight, and as I do, I'm going to dismiss Children's Church for those in kindergarten through fourth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you here this morning. Once again, this year we are going to be celebrating or honoring those individuals who have impacted us in our lives. And by purchasing Easter lilies, and there's a order form in your bulletin, and basically you can read more about that. We will be taking orders all the way up until April the 2nd. And so make note of the other announcements in your bulletin, and as God leads you, may you follow and may you serve in the manner he's called you to. Let us turn our attention to the reading of God's word.
Today's reading from the word will be found in the book of Mark. We'll be reading in the chapter 14, verses 32 through 42, found on page 1580 in the Pew Bibles. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will." Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away, and he prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in its reading. If the ushers will now please come forward for our tithes and our offering.
Graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offering, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The season of Lent, which typically we prepare ourselves as followers of Christ for the crucifixion and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. But yet this season of Lent, we have been asking the question, what is next? And friends, I believe that all of us have that same question in our journey with Jesus, and we all will possibly have different answers. Several of you shared with me over this past week that as I was preaching, God gave you someone's name. And friends, that sometimes is what's next, where God will want you and me to minister to those individuals. And so as we continue through this series this morning, we find ourselves in the text of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Now, Ray read the Gospel of Mark's account of the Garden of Gethsemane event and that occasion where Jesus was praying to God the Father before the imminent betrayal and the imminent arrest and subsequent trials and crucifixion, and then ultimately the death, but the resurrection of Christ. I printed that in your bulletin, so follow along as we read the Gospel of Matthew's account of the Garden of Gethsemane event. Beginning in verse 36, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go yonder and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, thy will be done.' And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" I believe in verse 41, if you have your Bibles or if you want to circle it right there on your bulletin, that's the crux of this entire passage, and let me tell you the reason why. Jesus says, "Watch and pray." And here's the result. When you watch and you pray, you may not enter into temptation. We're going to talk about temptations here in a few moments. But then he qualifies that and he says, your spirit inside of you, your desire is willing, but your flesh is weak. And so if you think about watching and praying, I believe this is the crux or the reason or the catalyst for those Christians who live a victorious Christian life and those Christians who just muddle through and just get by. And I'll say that again. I believe that the qualification or the desire to watch and to pray is the main reason why some Christians live the victorious Christian life. And those that don't are the ones who just muddle through. In his book, Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Church, he talks about how surfers in Southern California, they'll go out to the beach, and they will be on the beach, and they will watch the waves, and they will watch the waves, and they will begin to learn how to identify what a good quality wave is. And then as he's telling this illustration, he begins to make the point that it's not the surfers who create the waves. God creates the wave. They simply identify the wave, and then they take advantage of what God brings to them. And friends, in the lead team, what I've been challenging the members on the lead team, the chair people of these certain ministries, and I'm going to challenge all of us here this morning, is that we too need to watch and to pray. If we don't watch and pray, we're going to miss what God is bringing to us. And we will miss it because we will be tempted to fall into temptation in a variety of different ways. And so the whole crux of what Jesus was telling the disciples was to watch and to pray. And we need to watch and we need to pray. We need to watch the world and see what's going on in the world. We need to be aware for sure of what's happening with the politics and all these things. But we also need to couple that with prayer, because if we forget the prayer, then we don't allow ourselves to see through God's eyes. And that's the temptation, to see through things in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own ways. And when we do that, then we act in ways that are not in accordance with God's desire. And so make no doubt about it. You and I must watch, but we must couple watching with prayer. Because prayer is the door that opens up our ability to interpret what's going on in this world through the lens that God wants you and I to have. And so to watch and to pray, I believe there's three different things that Jesus would have us to learn. And the first is to pray during difficulties. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. Now the word Gethsemane, or the name, it means oil press. And so literally you can see how Jesus was being pressed. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I have been pressed in by different circumstances, different things that have happened, different things that were outside of my control, the different things that I had no ability to rise above. I felt like I was being pressed. But make no mistake about it, that the pressure that I felt and have felt in this life did not even go close to what Jesus was dealing with there. He was dealing with the perspective of God pouring out his cup of wrath on him, that which you and I deserved, and yet God was going to pour it out upon him. And so he was in the wine press, in the oil press. And so he went there, and he said to his disciples, he said, sit here while I go yonder and pray. You see, Jesus, all through his ministry, he was watching. There are different accounts. One account, they wanted to throw him off a cliff, and he watched the crowds, and he knew what was going on, and he got away. There were different times where he watched what was happening, and he would go, and he watched the response of the people. We are called to watch. We're not called to stick our heads in the sands and be oblivious to what's going on in the world. We must watch. But far too often, many Christians, they simply watch, and they don't pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then Jesus said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. You see, we too need to pray during times of difficulty, during times of trouble. The sad commentary on many Christians is this, is that they stop right here and God begins to become this great Santa Claus, that they just go to him and want these great benefits and great blessings, and it never moves on beyond that. We must truly be watchful. We need to watch where God is working. We need to be watching of what's happening in the world, but we truly need to couple that with prayer. If we don't, friends, we're going to miss it. And sometimes this difficulty will go on, and it'll go on, and it'll go on, and it'll go on. And it will last for a long time. And we still need to stay true and to watch and to pray and to watch at what's happening, to watch where God's moving. Because, friends, even when it doesn't appear that God is working, he is at work. But if we're not watching, we're going to miss it. If we're not watching what's happening in the world, then we're going to set our children up for a fall, because we're not going to prepare them for what they're going to have to face in this world. If we're not watching, we're going to walk into the face of temptation. But worse yet, if we're not praying, then during those difficulties, we're going to be tempted to do things in our own strength, in our own power, in our own ability. We're going to be tempted to stand on our own two feet. Now, I don't know what you're facing here this morning, but the temptation that Jesus had right here, his soul is very sorrowful, even to the death. Remain here is what he says, and watch with me. His temptation had to be, you know what? You guys, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to take this situation in my own strength and power, and I'm going to call down the legions of angels, and I'm going to set you all right. You see, we all have temptation. He went through it. Jesus did, so he could relate to us. So he could show us how to live the victorious Christian life. So he could show us the path to true peace. So he could show us the path to victory, friends. And so either we get caught up in CNN and Fox News and the History Channel or whatever other channel and we just get sucked into that, or else we get caught up in just isolating from the world. And Jesus didn't say to watch only what's happening, and he didn't say just to pray. He said to watch and pray. During the difficult times, if you want to be victorious, friends, you watch and you pray. You watch and you pray. And as you're watching, you will see God move in different ways. And sometimes it appears that God's not even doing anything. But you won't move because you will be so committed to your prayer life that you will say, Lord, I'm not going to move until you tell me to move. But if you only watch, you're going to jump in with both feet. I got a family member that basically tells me this all the time. And they say, you know what? Everything goes right with you, Max. Oh, no. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Where do I even start with that? You know, where do I even begin to tell them that no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Now, I don't do this all the time. I don't watch and pray all the time. But I'm here to tell you that the majority of the time I do. You want things to happen the way that God wants them to happen in your life? It doesn't matter what you're facing. What it matters is how you respond to it. It doesn't matter what the world's going to throw at you. It matters how you respond to it. And if you don't watch, you're going to be oblivious to the agenda that's being put out there. If you don't pray, you're going to be oblivious to God's will for you. We must put these two together and watch and pray. I mean, how can we even begin to minister to somebody if we don't watch and pray? We don't watch where they're at in their life, and we don't pray to ask God. He knows them better than we do, right? I'll never forget in 2012, when the first Sunday that I came here, my prayer life was this. Lord, you know the people at Trinity better than I know them, better than I ever will know them. I need to know what messages you need me to speak. Watching and praying. After 4.5 years, I'm not sure that I still know exactly, you know, sometimes, and I still go to God. Lord, you know them better than I do. And that's reality. Your spouses, God knows them better than you do. Lord, help me to minister to them. That person that God put on your heart last week, God knows them better than you do. So you watch and you pray, and no matter what happens during those difficulties, you want to be victorious. It's not about the situation or the circumstance. It's about you watching and you pray so that you nor I will be led into temptation. The second thing that I believe that Jesus would have us to learn is this, that we need to pray despite our doubt. And going a little farther, he fell, meaning Jesus, on his face, and he prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." I just want to unpack this a little bit. Sometimes I think we have this picture of Jesus that says that he was, you know, totally not able to be tempted. And sometimes I think we have this picture of Jesus as this weak and meek and mild individual. And Jesus was a manly man, okay? Jesus was through and through. He knew what the cross meant for him. And what the cross meant for him was this, was that he who knew no sin became sin. So Jesus was becoming sin, and we were becoming righteous. So what happened at the cross, the crucifixion, when Jesus died upon the cross, he took all of his righteousness and he gave it to all of us. He took all of your sinfulness, and he took it on himself. Now, here's the kicker, is that he knew, and when he prayed this prayer, he knew what that would mean, and that would mean an eternity separated from a holy God. I'll say that again. So Jesus, in the oil press now, in Gethsemane, he knew that when he took our sin on him, it meant that God would have to banish him forever. Because is that not the punishment that those who die without Christ receive? Why would it be any different than from Jesus? And so, you want to sweat drops of blood, as Luke accounts? You want to take the sin, the wrath of God on yourself? You're going to be in this pressure situation. And so I'm not saying that he doubted here, but I am simply saying that he was wrestling, and he was wrestling with God to such an extreme measure that he is saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And we know that when he was resurrected, his prayer was answered, was it not? But that didn't mean that he didn't have to go through it. That didn't mean that the anguish still wasn't there. That didn't mean that he wasn't wrestling with the propensity of what could be. And sometimes our temptation, when we pray and we don't see God working as fast as we think he needs to work, our temptation is to throw up our arms and say, "Forget it, I'm not praying about this anymore. I prayed for the last year, and I'm done with this, God." Sometimes, when doubt begins to creep in, we need to continue to pray, and we need to continue to watch. We need to continue to watch at what God is doing and what God wants to do. We need to continue to watch and pray as Jesus did. He continued. Imagine the disheartenment that he felt when he approaches the disciples and they're catching flies. Their mouths are open, they're sleeping, they're snoring. And he's like, "Come on, can't you even just watch with me?" The doubt, the despair, the anguish, the loneliness, the betrayal. And he prays, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." So when we face doubts, when we face those times where we don't think God's moving in our time frame, in our speed, we need to continue to watch and continue to pray, and we need to continue to watch and continue to pray, and we marry those two together, because when we watch, we see what's going on, and when we pray, we see what God sees, and when we pray, we act out of what God wants us to do rather than in our own strength, our own ability. Jesus could have said, "Forget this, man. I'm out of here." But he knew the heart of God. That's what happens when we pray. It changes us. Prayer will change you, friends. Do you know you can't be angry at someone and pray for them? It's impossible. You cannot be angry at someone and pray for them, because it changes you and me. Prayer changes us. And so when we watch of what's going on, and when we begin to struggle with doubt, like God's not doing what we think he ought to do, as if we have any right to tell God what he should do in the first place. And then when we struggle with that, and we struggle, and sometimes our temptation is to walk away from prayer and say, "You know what, forget this stuff, I'm out of here." I can't tell you the most tragic thing that I think I've seen in ministry in the last 10 years is this. The people that they hit a little bump in the road and they're on fire. They're on fire for Christ. They hit this little bump in the road and they think God needs to do what they think God needs to do. And God doesn't do it according to what they think. And they quit praying. And eventually they walk away. And they lose the blessing. They lose the victory. They lose what God wants them to have all along, but he's not going to force them to stay. He's going to say, "You want to leave? Go ahead. There you go." And they walk away. And friends, praying despite our doubt, we must watch and we must pray. No matter what, we have to bring those two together. The third thing that we can learn out of this is to pray dependently in unity with God. You truly want to be victorious? Get to this point. Get to this point in your prayer life. Get to this point. Little known fact is that there was a time when I was at Maplewood Christian Church and I spent one night, all night in prayer. because I felt like I couldn't do what God was asking me to do there. And I didn't want to leave because I didn't want to move because of the relationship that I had with my niece and nephew. Noble reason, right? I was concerned about them, the vital ages, the crucial ages that they were at in their lives. And they didn't have a positive male role model except for me in their life. Noble reasons, right? All night, I spent in prayer one night. And I finally got here. I finally got here, friends. As soon as I got here, it was like within the next day, I saw the post. And the post was about this position. And one thing led to another, and it was like, boom, 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 boom. They're just like dominoes following. And friends, if we get here, if we get here, if we are praying dependently in unity with God, the scripture tells us, and going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, not as I desire, not as what I would do, is what Jesus is saying, but as your will to be done." You see, when we get there, Lord, not what I want, but what you want, then, my friends, you and I are going to be victorious, but we have to get through the difficulty situation, and we got to watch at what God is doing, and we need to pray that we would act according to his will in our lives, and we have to get through the doubt. And until we get through the doubt, then we can pray in unity with God. And when we pray in unity with God, then and only then, God is free to move through you. And that's my heart and my hope and my prayer here at Trinity, is that God would move. He would move through this congregation in such a magnificent way, not for anyone's glory, but to glorify him. And my hope and my prayer is this, that we would be the beacon of light to this community and the surrounding areas. If we don't get here, we're doing it in our own strength. If we don't get here, we're doing it in our own power. If we don't get here, then we're not watching. We might be praying. Or we might be watching and we might not be praying. But when you watch and pray, is what Jesus says, that you may not enter into temptation. The temptation to walk away from God's will, the temptation to do things in our own ability, the temptation to do things in our own strength, the temptation to try to make something happen. But when you watch and you pray, the difficulties will fade away. They'll still be there, but the strength that God will give to you will carry you through. The doubt, it may creep in or try to, but when you watch and you pray, the doubt will take on a new form, and that form will be about what God wants, not about what you want. And you will start hanging your hat on the hope that is in Christ crucified, the confident expectation of God doing something wonderful. And then, friends, when you're praying dependently in unity with God, that's when it gets fun. Because when you're in unity with God, the scriptures tell us, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and grants us that request. The key is according to his will. But you got to get through the difficulties and the doubt and seek to be in unity. So whatever you're dealing with today, wherever you're at, it might be a name that God put upon your heart last week. I don't know. But watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch the situation. Pray about it. If you need some godly counsel, the scriptures say that wisdom is amongst many counselors, many individuals. I would encourage you to search out an individual who is chasing after God and ask them about it. But friends, watch and pray. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask that you would empower us, that you would, you know, strengthen us. You would give us your courage to be aware of what's going on, to truly watch, but to not forfeit the blessed time of prayer. the time of communing with you, where you can work in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls, that we truly might be in unity with you. And so, Father God, just meet with us now, and may we watch and pray for the situations that you bring us to, for the difficulties that we find ourselves in, the doubts that assail our hearts. May you give us the strength to watch and pray so that we will truly be united with you. We thank you and we bless you. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing head, I find my rest. Without help, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Here this morning, what I want for all of you is I want you to experience the victory that Jesus has bought and purchased for your life. And the path to that victory, friends, is through watching and prayer. And so as you and I depart, may we truly commit and be disciplined and diligent in our watchfulness and our prayer life. And may we bring those two together, and may we not neglect either one. And may the God of all peace and all comfort, may he bless you with his joy. May he fill you with his love, and may he anoint you with his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in peace. Amen.